Good morning, Lee.
This week, you're talking about the massive power outage that occurred in Queensland just last week.
That's correct, mate. Now, the Callide power station had an explosion and a fire at one of the four turbines it's got there, and that one's called Callide C, which is one of two separate sites, which is actually was the more modern of the two power stations on that site. And that one was commissioned in 2001. Now, only one turbine out of four from only one power station out of two to the uninitiated would seem to be just a minor blip on the radar. But being electricity-related, all these two sites and four other power stations were affected.
So how many people were without power on this occasion?
It's a staggering number, 470,000 people.
Wow, that's nearly the population of Tasmania, mate.
That is. They were sitting in the dark eating cold beans for their supper.
No good.
Now, every bit of machinery in the world has the potential to fail, despite everyone's best efforts, so there's no point being overcritical about one technology versus another, as it's just the nature of the beast of equipment with moving parts. Though, I will say, it was less than 15 minutes after the event that the usual voices started to blame renewable energy for the incident that occurred at a coal-burning power plant, which makes me scratch my head more than just a bit. But anyway, back to the main event. What we actually witnessed is a grid or network that is designed around centralised power sources. So it's very exposed, what we would call a cascading failure. A large chunk of the state's generation capacity had to shut down suddenly, and the remaining power generation assets couldn't meet the demand and had to shut down to protect themselves from brownouts.
Looks like the majority of those affected were only out of power for about a day, but it just goes to show that the fragility of the centralised grid model. So this begs the question, could this happen in this state of ours, Tasmania?
The answer is yes, but as we have many more power generation assets and a grid designed around being semi-centralised, our networks are much more robust.
Mm-hmm.
Hydro Tasmania have 30 hydro power stations to call upon, as well as two large wind farms, though the wind farms are not dispatchable without some sort of storage like batteries or pumped hydro.
And I guess there's some weak points on how the island is interconnected, but by and large, the loss of one turbine could be highly unlikely to cause an event as we witnessed in Queensland.
That's exactly right, Lee. It'd be very, very unlikely that could happen here. But I guess, you know, everything's at the right point, the right connection, it could happen.
Yeah, we did have an issue a few years back, though, didn't we?
We did, and that was when Basslink broke down. Our dams were running low due to drought and the government's decision to run our dams out of water to cash in on the carbon tax before that was axed. But this is just running out of energy. That wasn't a systematic network failure.
So we know a decentralised grid is the way forward to build a more robust and reliable network.
That's right. And the best way to decentralise a grid, Lee, is to add more renewable energy sources, as we have the ability to generate power closer to where it's consumed and can be more easily effectively islanded if the surrounding grid is compromised.
And I guess experts have been screaming this and are particularly angling it towards the governments for all the benefits for years.
They have. You know, the benefits of decentralising the grid by adding dispatchable renewable energy sources sells itself. In some states, energy networks have been building renewable energy microgrids, and these sit inside the larger grid and can effectively keep power supply to towns or suburbs if the larger grid goes down. We can even break this down further, Lee, as we can decentralise to the point with every homeowner with solar and battery storage. Once we had storage or any solar installation, it changes the entire scope and ability of a home to be more resilient during large outages. Eventually, we'll see this as being the norm. One thing of note, though, was the response of those homeowners who had solar with battery storages during the Queensland outage. And to be blunt, if smugness was an energy source, the lights wouldn't have gone off. The general message was all the battery viability naysayers had been beating the wrong drum, as the battery owners were living at large while everyone else was sitting in the dark feeling pretty despondent.
So are batteries the answer for energy security, mate?
The short answer is yes. If we had enough battery storage with the ability for network control, we could effectively island smaller and smaller sections of the grid in the event of a massive grid failure.
So what's the hold-up?
Another short answer, mate, the cost. The cost of adding battery storage to solar systems. If you do not factor in convenience of remaining up and running during an outage, the pure energy out calculations don't quite add up yet. We would need batteries to drop in price by around 30%, or if the power was to increase by 20 or 30%, or even if batteries' lifespans were to last 30% longer. Whenever that happens, it's going to be game on for batteries. Unless, of course, you like the smug sense of self-satisfaction of being the only house on the block with the lights on during an outage as you blend up another margarita or you're scrolling through Netflix. Meanwhile, your next door neighbours are singing out if anyone remembers where they put the candles.
You at DMS Energy, you know batteries, don't you, inside and out, as well as all solar systems?
We do, and we have some great new products to be released at the end of the year to complement our existing ranges. Look, whether they'll be the catalyst to drive the battery installation explosion the network is crying out for remains to be seen.
Now let's have a look at our energy fact of the week, if you've got one for us.
I certainly do. This one is over $500 billion was invested across the world in renewable energy last year. And unfortunately, Australia is missing out on the lion's share of that by stubbornly refusing to budge on its position to continue regarding coal and gas as the only viable energy sources.
Oh, that's another one for our federal government, I think.
No, I think so.
At DMS Energy, where do we find you and your phone number there, Adrian?
Give us a bell, mate, on 1300 502 599 and we can soon see if battery storage is the right way for you to go, or call into our showroom at 56 Sheffield Road in Sprayton to see working battery and solar displays, or go to www.dmsenergy.net.au and you can check out our product range or organise a quote.
And you do travel right across the northwest coast.
We certainly do, Lee.
Fantastic. Good on you, Adrian. Always good to catch up with you. With more Power Savers, we'll do more of the same again next Monday morning, a little after 8:30.
Thanks, Lee.